Americans for the Arts.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, Hillsborough voters will decide in November whether to increase the sales tax by 1 cent on the dollar to pay for transportation. We'll hear from some supporters of that idea in just a moment. Later, we'll talk about the latest regarding the Kavanaugh nomination. But first, three listener comments about yesterday's program on which I discussed politics with four local college students. And at one point, I asked them whether socialism is bad in all cases. And their answers brought these reactions from listeners.
And one thing I've always said, you'll never find a conservative in a hurricane shelter, and you'll never find an atheist in a foxhole on a battlefield. When I hear people knock socialism, they're predicating that argument on their big bank account. You take that big bank account away, if there's a run on the bank or a depression, they turn into socialists real quick. All of a sudden, they love Medicare and Social Security and disability and the programs that are there to help people. And this ideology that socialism is terrible, it's a collective collection of taxes by everybody to benefit society. The roads, the highways, the libraries, public transportation, public parks.
This is in response to today's Radioactivity show and the comment about the fire department being socialized. I did have a fire and called the fire department, and the fire truck came with about 50 firemen, and they put my fire out very handily. And I was assessed a fee of about $100, as I recall, on my tax bill. So that seems to be some kind of a copay, I guess. But they did a great job, and I did get my settlement and fixed up the house better than ever, and no one was hurt, so it ended really well. And thank goodness I didn't have to pay the bill, the entire bill for that service with 50 firemen and a fire truck. God, that would have been, God knows, thousands of dollars. So thank goodness it is at least mainly socialized.
This is Tina in Brooksville. I was listening to your show from the WDU program and talking with the Youngbloods about Gillum and socialism and other things. One woman said Gillum had spoken about Medicare for all before the primary, backed off to be now speaking about affordable health care as if it was less progressive. In my view, Medicare for all is affordable health care. It is universal health care. But as you know, Medicare is not free for anyone. It does make it possible for over 65s, which should be true for everyone. Even then, when paying for Part B, much of the health care costs are not covered by Medicare. So many of us pay for additional coverage, and some of us pay a lot more. So I checked Gillum's site just to make sure I was not reading the issue incorrectly. I was not, but the young woman who had spoke about this was misunderstanding it, I think. And you can check Andrew Gillum's website on issue/healthcare to see that. The folks you spoke with seem to be intelligent and mostly well-informed. I don't know why she would say what she did, but just because the term Medicare for all is sometimes not used, it's not necessarily meaning the support for universal health care or affordable health care is any different. As far as I'm concerned, these terms are interchangeable. I don't think Gillum changed his platform at all, and yet I can be wrong too, and I hope not.
Well, there you have some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. This November, voters in Hillsborough County will be asked whether they want to raise the sales tax in the county by a penny to pay for transportation improvements. At the same time, voters in Hillsborough County will also be asked whether they want to raise the sales tax an additional 0.5 cent to pay for improvements to education. If both ballot measures pass, Hillsborough County would have the highest sales tax in the state. Joining us now are two people working to pass the 1 cent sales tax. They are Christina Barker and Brian Willis, who are both volunteers with the group All for Transportation. And Christina and Brian, welcome to WMNF. Great to see you. Thank you for coming by.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here, Rob.
Okay, so this is a 1 cent sales tax for transportation, and it would be in force for 30 years, is that correct?
That's right. It's a one penny sales tax. It's for 30 years. It would fund road and transportation improvements as well as increase our transit service.
So how would the money be split up? Who would get the money?
The plan calls for 45% of the money to go to HART, so our local bus agency. Of their money, they have to spend so much on increasing service they already have, having more frequent service, extended hours, more routes, possibly bringing back routes that have had to be cut. And then 54% goes to split between our counties and our three cities, the city of Tampa, Temple Terrace, and Plant City. That money has to be spent on road improvements, maintenance, filling potholes, relieving rush hour bottlenecks, traffic congestion, and a large part goes to safety and maintenance, so making sure that our roads are safer. We have some of the most dangerous streets in the nation, and we have the ability to fix that if we had funding for projects that make the roads safer for walking, biking, and driving.
So what's HART's financial condition right now? What kind of shape is HART, the bus system, in Hillsborough County?
HART is, their financial situation is healthy, but cash poor, right? They don't have enough money to operate a bus system and a transportation system that is adequate to meet the needs of Hillsborough County. They're meeting their budget. They have a balanced budget. As part of this process of getting on the ballot, there was an independent audit that had to be conducted of the transportation spending going on at HART. And that audit came back with a clean bill of health for the organization. It's just that the amount of money they have is equivalent to what Sheboygan, Wisconsin spends on transportation.
And Sheboygan, what's the population there?
A lot less than Tampa. And it's definitely not growing at 1,000 people a day that we're seeing moving to this area. I grew up here. I grew up in the Carrollwood area. And, you know, I remember when Northdale was built, and that was called Northdale because it was the Northdale, right? And now it's Midtown. And so not only are we underfunding our transportation needs for what we have now, but we're not even meeting the needs of the future growth. And it's, we're going to choke on it if we don't address it.
Is HART currently funded by property taxes? Is that mainly where the money for the bus system in Hillsborough County comes from?
HART is fully funded by property taxes. Okay. And so right now, the property tax that we pay goes to the service that they can provide, which isn't much. And we hear about people who, when bus service was cut last year, that barrier between them and their job was transportation, and they are no longer able to get to work. So when we think about HART and the service that they should be providing, they run an effective bus agency for what they have, but they could be doing a lot more in the community if they had more funding.
So 45% of the money of this total 30, is it $30 billion? How many billion dollars over
280 million dollars in year one?
A year one, okay.
And depending on how you predict the growth over the time, it's somewhere between $9 and $12 billion over the 30 years. But $280 million in year one.
45% goes to the HART bus system.
Correct.
And then the rest goes to the municipalities and the county for road improvement, bridges, pedestrian improvement, safety improvement, bikeways, that sort of thing.
None of it can go to highway widening.
Uh-huh.
None of it can go to a baseball stadium. Right. I mean, those two things are both protected.
Now, how do you know that? How do you know that will be able to go there?
I go, we wrote it in. We wrote it into, you know, this whole process, you know, if you step back, if people recall, you know, prior efforts, what's different about this process is it's come from the citizens. So myself, Christina, the core of the All for Transportation group, actually got together and wrote a county charter amendment that is like the constitution for the county. And we wrote into that, one of the protections we wrote in there was no money for highway widening, no money for the stadium, and we wrote in there that there'd be an independent oversight committee that's going to enforce those restrictions.
Now, all along, I thought that there were some wealthy people behind this, like Jeff Vinnick, that it was their idea, that the idea came from some wealthy people here in Hillsborough County. Not true? Tell me where the idea came from.
Yeah, not true. That couldn't be further from the truth. I think that there's a frustration in the community about the traffic situation that we sit in every day, the fact that there has been no solutions offered for those problems. And a group of citizens came together and went to the business community and asked for their support. And the business community has traditionally supported efforts like this because they see getting their employees to and from work can become an issue. They see that when we want to attract new business and expanding business to Tampa and the Hillsborough area, that our transportation system is our Achilles heel. And so a group of citizens got together to do this, and the business community has been a great partner and supporter of ours.
Would some of the money be used for roads in the southern part of Hillsborough County? Let's say where all those housing developments are going in, would you be building roads there?
There would be money for roads. There are parts of this county that need roads, and certainly I live in the city, and there's different needs in different parts of the county, and we've built in allocations with how this money is going to be spent that mirror the different needs of the county. And these percentages, the 45%, the 54%, and then we break it down further to money that goes for safety improvement, for congestion reduction. Those percentages mirror what's called the long-range transportation plan of the county. And so one of the numbers that the county always puts out there is this is $9 billion backlog of transportation projects. And they know there's this backlog because they actually have plans on their shelf. They've been sitting there, and they're updated every few years to meet the needs of our county. They just never have the money to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some areas of the county, they do need new roads. They particularly around Big Bend and 75, they've got a huge congestion area there where there's an on-ramp and new communities that are being built out there. But that's certainly different from what the city of Tampa needs. And so this plan has a little bit for everybody.
Because what I was getting at is, are we requiring developers? I mean, there's these huge housing developments that are going on in the outer part of Hillsborough County, especially in the southern part of Hillsborough County. Are we requiring developers to pay enough for the roads that are going to be needed for the people they're bringing in these housing developments?
I would say historically, no. In recent years, the county has made changes, though, that change that. So they're moving more to a mobility fee system as opposed to an impact fee system. Part of the problem that we're in, that schools are in, is that there were decisions that were made in the 90s that were not adequately paid for. But the county has made changes in recent years to increase the amount that developers are paying for new development. We're just living under, some of the decisions that were made in the past.
But I would add to that, when we talk about a penny for transportation, we think about the people living here paying for that penny. But we've seen analysis that shows 40, 45% of that will be paid for by people who are commuting here from other counties, from visitors, from tourists. And so this is a way that for anybody who is putting a burden on the transportation system of Hillsborough County, that everybody is paying in, that it's not just on the backs of homeowners.
Yeah, and the sales tax has exemptions both for, staples, food, basics that you buy at the grocery, and also there's a cap on it at $5,000. So if you go out and you buy a car for $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, everything over $5,000 is not taxed under this.
Well, we're talking with Christina Barker and Brian Willis, who are with the group All for Transportation. On the November ballot, there's going to be a proposal to raise the sales tax in Hillsborough County by 1 cent to pay for all these transportation improvements that we've been talking about. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, I guess the big thing that a lot of people ask about when it comes to transportation is, will we ever have a train system in Hillsborough County? Is the word train contained at all in this proposal?
No, All for Transportation is not advocating for one mode over another. I'll tell you what is in the plan. What is in the plan is that HART has to spend a portion of its money on service that is in a dedicated right-of-way. So we've defined that as meaning 75% of the time, that service has to operate in its own lane, bypassing traffic congestion. It provides a reliable service that people can use to get to and from where they need to go. We don't dictate in here what mode that has to be. The community has had conversations about BRT, about rail, streetcar, ferry, and all of those modes could be included in that portion of the funding. That is an ongoing community conversation that we are going to be happy to take part in when we have the funding to actually implement some of those projects.
Yeah, and what Orlando's done something that Tampa could really model it on is Orlando has built what's called SunRail using the CSX tracks that were in Orlando. And, obviously right where we are in the station, there's CSX tracks right nearby. They connect a lot of the key points. And so I think that's something that's actually, it's in the MPO long-range plan, is the CSX corridor. And I think that would be prime item for discussion once the money's there.
All right, so you create the money, but then it would be up to the county and the city later on to decide whether or not to, for instance, buy the CSX tracks if they decide that's the way to
system. We can't force CSX to sell their tracks. They're a private company. They have a decision to make, but we can create the funds that are there to do projects like that. And, the streetcar is in existing plans. The CSX tracks are in existing plans. So those are the type of projects that we think could be funded by this. And what we're able to do by this county charter process is make sure that the funds to HART are protected, the funds for dedicated right-of-way are protected, the funds for safety are protected, but projects still are going to be implemented by individual agencies.
I want to ask about two groups. One is I want to ask about people in the inner city that use the buses right now. I mean, I you know, every afternoon it rains, and sometimes I'm out in my car in the rain, and I see these poor folks waiting for the bus because the buses don't come very frequently. How would you expect this 1 cent sales tax to improve the lot of those folks that have to rely on the bus system to get to and from work or around to school?
This is going to allow HART to provide people a dignified customer experience when they're riding the bus. It's unacceptable that we have places in the city where you're waiting for a bus, you're not protected from the sun, you're not protected from the rain. We've been out talking to neighborhoods all over the county, and from neighborhoods that rely on transit service, we're hearing the same thing from them. They're not asking for that much. They're asking for a reliable way to get to work. They're asking to stand under a cover for when it rains so that when they're going to a job interview, they don't show up wet or sweaty. And we think that that is something the community should be providing them. And we will be giving people a dignified way to move around, even if you can't afford or don't want to drive your car.
Yeah, and one of the related things that we hear about is that there's this perception, you know, just campaigning across the county and talking to people across the county, almost every neighborhood in this community thinks that the money's going to somebody else. And the reality is nobody has the money, right? It's not that, you know, you can go out to Brandon and they think Tampa's getting the money. You can go out to Apollo Beach and they think that Brandon's getting the money that should go to Apollo Beach. There's just not enough money. You know, when you look at like the pedestrian safety bucket, you know, the city of Tampa did an analysis of what this would mean, what All for Transportation Passing would mean for them. And, you know, we're the deadliest community in the country for pedestrian safety. And right now...
And bicycles.
And right now the city spends $600,000 a year on that. That is not a lot of money. When you talk about these bus shelters that have to be able to be holed up in a hurricane and hold up to people using them, I mean, these are very... That money goes quick. So the city's budget for safety under All for Transportation would go from $600,000 to about $10 million a year. It's like a 1,600% increase. And I've been involved in this fight for more than a decade at this point. And what I see is that the plans are out there, the ideas are out there. There's just not the money to do it. And so we're really talking about a sea change in terms of the amount of funds that we'd have to tackle some of these problems, and it's bus shelters and it's safety improvements and just building the plans that are on the books.
The other group I want to ask you about is the folks that live in places like Odessa and then on the east side on Lithia and Thanodis Acid, Riverview, Brandon, Apollo Beach, Riverview, Sun City Center. I mean, those are, I think, the communities that are pretty much anti any sort of public transportation. What's in it for them if folks in the really outlying suburbs of Hillsborough County vote to approve this?
Yeah. Historically, we have seen an anti sort of message from those areas, but this plan is different. So the problem has gotten worse and the plan has gotten better. This plan is balanced, it's comprehensive. If you live out in Sun City Center and you need, you know, you're hitting potholes the same way that people in Town and Country or Carrollwood are. And so what's in it for them is road maintenance. What's in it for them is safety improvements. What's in it for them is traffic congestion relief. The same things that are in it for everywhere, because it's been crafted in a way that every neighborhood will have its individual needs met. No one is getting all of anything. There's something in it for everyone.
And traffic signal improvements is a big one that we hear about around the county. We don't have modern traffic signal technology. And I mean, it seems basic, but every time you're stuck at a light and you see the light in front of you turn green while you're waiting at a red and it's switched over before you can advance. I mean, that is just a technology function that costs money to upgrade the technology on those signals. And so if you're in the entire county, we can have smarter signals, which means more efficient traffic flow, which is good for people in the county. It's good for the environment because you got less time idling at these stops. And the other thing that we hear about is, you know, pre-recession, we were on a schedule to repave the roads in Hillsborough County about every 15 to 20 years. Post-recession, with the cutbacks we've had in budgets, they're now on an every 75-year road repaving schedule. And so we're really in the first sort of 5 years of that reduced schedule. And if you think your road repavement is bad now, wait until we're year 10, year 20 of an every 75-year road repaving schedule. We are headed towards a huge pothole, literally, when it comes to road repaving if we don't do this.
That's Brian Willis of the group All for Transportation. Christina Barker from the same group is here. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Will, who's in Gibsonton, who's in Hillsborough County. Hey, Will, how are you? What's your question for Brian and Christina?
Hey, Rob. Listen, I live out in South County off of Sims Road, which is a little less than halfway between Gibsonton Drive, which is four lanes and has an on-ramp to 75, and Big Bend, which has an on-ramp to Highway 75. Now, all three of them roads, like your people have been saying, come rush hour in the morning and the afternoon, it's just a nightmare, and Sims Road is just a two-lane highway. It backs up in the morning and evening. Let's see, I think from 41 to 301 is approximately 3 miles. And the halfway point is almost at East Bay Drive, which connects Gibsonton Drive, where the Walmart is, and Sims Road. And it's backed up almost from 41 to that light. And then in the evening, from the overpass, which is just beyond the light, to Highway 301. Now, Big Bend is four lanes. East Bay, Gibsonton Drive is four lanes. And both of them have on-off ramps to 75. But Sims Road is a two-lane highway. And the last time I checked with the county, there's absolutely nothing in the plan for them to four-lane this street. And it's a failed street. And I wondered what your folks had to know about that.
Well, that's a good question. Will, thanks a lot. Thanks for the question. So, you know, I'm sure that everybody knows a road that needs to be improved in their neighborhood. Now, you said at the start, Brian, that this is not going to go for road widening, right? The money is not going to go for road widening.
It's not going to go for – there's cannot go to highway widening. And I think about 80% of the funds cannot go. But there is a small percentage, about 20%, that can be used for road widening in places that need it, places like Big Bend. And,
do we know if Sims Road is on the priority list to be improved or widened? You know, would it – can somebody go on your website to take a look to see if whether Sims would get some – widening money?
Yeah, the place really to look for specific projects is in our long-term transportation plan, and it's not a great answer. Those plans are hundreds of pages long, and they have several projects down to crosswalks in front of every school or road widening. What's in this plan is, you know, more than $1 billion more for road widening than if we don't pass it. 68% of the road money can go to traffic congestion relief. That means new lanes, turn lanes. That means accident reduction, and that means technology like timing the lights. So while me and Brian aren't traffic engineers, and I don't know the exact problem happening there out in Gibsonton, we know that with no funding, it's not going to get any better.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the call just really illustrates why this time is different for people. I mean, you're just seeing this level of frustration on traffic across the county in a way that hasn't been there in years past.
What's your advice for Will, who sees a problem? Will, have you called your county commissioners?
I called a portion, I don't know who it was in DOT, but I called them, I don't know, I guess a couple of years ago and asked if there was any plan to four-lane Sims Road. And you know, they just flat out came out and said, no, there is absolutely none.
Is Sims Road a
connector between Gibsonton Drive and Big Bend Road, which are both four-lane. We're the only other connector between 41 and 301.
Yeah, wouldn't the question be if it's a county road or a state road? I mean, the FDOT would govern widening a state road, but if it's a county road, he should call his county commissioners.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's hard. When you're driving around and you're trying to get to work or bring your kids to school, you don't know what road is a county road or a city road or a state road. And they all have unique problems in unique places. And I think that voting yes on All for Transportation means that we're going to have a lot more resources to fix a lot more problems.
All right, Will, thanks a lot.
The other thing he can do, Rob, is he can go to itstimetampabay.org. The Hillsborough MPO is doing one of their regular updates of the long-range transportation plan. And so if there's specific roads or specific projects, itstimetampabay.org, the Hillsborough Metropolitan Planning Organization, is taking feedback from people now about what their needs are.
All right, that's good advice. All right, so what if somebody's still skeptical about voting for this and they say, what's the oversight? What, you know, what protects me from voting for something this week, and there's the plans for it, and then 2 years from now, you're not spending money there. You're spending money on something entirely different than what the original promise was.
Well, this is the best protected plan like this that we've ever had because of the county charter, because we're writing it into the county's constitution about how this money's going to be spent, and the fact that we're creating a 14-member independent oversight committee that's going to be of citizens, no elected officials, and that independent oversight committee has the ability to make sure all the agencies are spending the funds like the people of Hillsborough County want it to be spent. And if they're not doing it, they have the ability to freeze those funds and cut off agencies until they come into compliance.
So what do you say to parents who might be listening to this and they say, I know I want to vote for the half-cent education tax, but I'm not so sure I want to have the highest sales tax in the state. So as a parent, I'm going to choose one tax and I'm going to vote this time for education. What would you say to that parent? What would to convince them to vote also for your tax?
You know, Brian and I are both parents of young kids. I think we want to live in a community where our kids can have a safe route to school and get there safely and also have air conditioning in the school when they get there. That's the kind of community we want to live in. Right. These two things, education and transportation, they're facing the same lack of funding year after year that we've seen, and now they're both in crisis. And we really view this as a rescue mission. Nothing is going to get worse if people don't vote yes. Voting yes on education is important, and voting yes on transportation is critical. So we really feel like these together, it's a great opportunity to transform the community in a way that we probably haven't seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, it's really a false choice. I mean, these are not running against each other. They're not two candidates running for the same office. And I mean, imagine if we woke up the day after Election Day and we had adequate funding for our schools and adequate funding for transportation. I mean, what a world that we would be living in Hillsborough County.
So here's an anonymous email from Plant City. They say that we have nothing out here, yet Hart has expanded north to another county. So Anonymous says that. What would you say to somebody who lives in Plant City who says that we don't have enough Hart service? What would you say to that person?
Let's say it's not just about Hart, right? I mean, Plant City has road needs as well. They have repaving needs as well. They'll get money out of this to meet all of their full bucket of needs. Plant City used to have an express bus service that ran from the city of Tampa to Plant City, but Hart had to cut it back because they didn't have adequate funding. So getting Hart the money to restore service is part of this, but also meeting the full set of needs that Plant City has will be helped by All for Transportation.
And Tim writes this, what about addressing flooding at downtown bus stops in downtown Tampa? Will there be money in there to stop the flooding at the bus stops?
A lot of road improvements do include stormwater improvements, and so I think that's reasonable to say that you would see if there was a flooding issue next to a bus stop, that that's something the city or the county could handle.
Yeah, and we wrote in the ability to use some of the funds on resilience, which really comes to what the changes we're seeing because of global warming and rising sea levels, and there is more erratic weather, and so certainly the resiliency funding can go to some of the flooding needs that we have.
Why did both of you get involved in this?
Brian and I have been working on transportation for a long time together. I kind of started thinking about transportation as a real critical issue when I worked in Metropolitan Ministries, and I worked with women who had no problem getting jobs. They could find jobs. They were intelligent and hardworking, and once they got a job, getting them there became the problem. And that's not the type of place we want to live. We want to live in a place that if you can't afford a car or if you don't want to have a car, that you can still live a full life.
Yeah, and I got involved in this issue after law school. I went to law school out of state in a place where they had a great transportation system. Part of the reason I could afford to do that was I didn't have the expense of a car while going to school. And when I came back to Tampa, where I'm from, in 2007, I just saw the glaring error and started to get involved. Both Christina and I have been involved in different levels on transportation issues. I've served on the T. Barta Advisory Board. I've served on planning organization advisory boards. Christina's been involved in government and was involved in We've both been involved in prior transportation campaigns, and this really has been a citizen-driven process. We were looking at some of the momentum and the voting energy that was coming together for 2018, particularly on the Democratic side, and we were really frustrated that there wasn't an effort out there to try and give people in Hillsborough County a choice to decide on this issue. And what we've seen by looking at this is not that is that we don't try enough, right? When you look at, Hillsborough County voters have only had a chance to weigh in on this once in the past three decades. It was 2010. It was the middle of the recession. It was the worst possible time to go in that three-decade period. And so this really came out of us and some other citizens that were frustrated and wanted people to have a choice. And we're so happy to have the backing of 77,000 people that signed a petition to get this on the ballot.
And is the description of how the money is going to be spent on your website?
It is. You can read a outline or the full charter amendment on our website, which is allfortransportation.com.
Allfortransportation.com. All right. Is there anything more you want to add?
I think just personally, I mean, I encourage people to go out and vote for this. Vote yes on this, vote yes on education. I think we are in one of those elections that could be transformative up and down the ballot from the governor's race to our county commission. And I think, you know, if we wake up on November and we have adequate funding for transportation, adequate funding for schools and elected officials that care about those issues in power, it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Well, Brian Willis and Christina Barker, thanks for coming by WMNF. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having us.
And both are volunteers with the group All for Transportation. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to talk about the Kavanaugh nomination right now. The U.S. Senate looks like it is moving toward a floor vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court this week. And we're going to talk about that for the next 20 minutes. This morning, let's listen in on what one of the leading conservative thinkers in the country, Sebastian Gorka, told the folks on Fox News about this, and we want to get your take on it. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here's Sebastian Gorka talking about why Brett Kavanaugh should be appointed and confirmed to the Supreme Court.
And now for you Democrats, and I guess I'm including you too, the media, right? I consider you a part of the Democrat Party. I think the press has treated me unbelievably unfair. They're loco, but that's okay. I put up with it.
All right, so we talked about it at the Rose Garden too. Dr. Gorka, what is your reaction to that?
Spot on. He's absolutely spot on. They have lost their minds. Let's start with the Kavanaugh hearing. We have people like Cory Booker who admitted to groping a high schooler. We have people like Dianne Feinstein who had a Chinese spy on her payroll for 20 years. We have people like Richard Blumenthal who lied about being a combat veteran of Vietnam, and these people are going to sit in judgment over Brett Kavanaugh, who has a spotless reputation. Look at what they've done in just the last 10 days. They are so desperate to stop this good man, this godly man. They've tried to accuse him of being a serial rapist. They tried to accuse him of trying to kill this woman, Dr. Ford, and now, what's the latest charge when they can't make anything stick? This is like an SNL skit. He threw ice over somebody 30 years ago in college. They are loco. It's unbelievable.
Well, there was some sort of a police report filed, but he was not charged. And, you know, you're right. It wound up in the pages of the New York Times. But, Sebastian, you know why the Democrats are doing this. They would like to run out the clock, essentially, have the Republicans lose control of the Senate. It would be a tie. And that way, you know, their agenda would not be changed.
Yeah, they have lost the will of the American people. Donald Trump became the president. They thought Hillary was the shoo-in. Remember the night of the election, the New York Times says she has a 94% chance of winning. Huffington Post said 97% chance of winning. It was locked in for Hillary. They lost. The American people decided that Donald Trump would be president. So what's their only hope now? To win the highest court in the land, turn it into a legislative body, and gain political control through the Supreme Court. And that's why Brett Kavanaugh has to be taken out, and we can't let it happen.
Well, that was Sebastian Gorka, the Fox News national security strategist, this morning on Fox News on the president's favorite TV channel, talking about Brett Kavanaugh being a godly man with a spotless reputation. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to what one of Brett Kavanaugh's classmates said about him. This is a former Yale classmate named Charles Ludington, who issued a statement to the New York Times and has been giving some interviews this week. Let's listen to what he said yesterday about whether he thought that Kavanaugh was being truthful when recounting his relationship with alcohol during his college years. Here's a former classmate of Brett Kavanaugh named Charles Ludington, who now lives in North Carolina.
that heavy drinking or even loutish behavior of an 18 or even 21-year-old should condemn a person for the rest of his life. I would be a hypocrite to think so. However, I have direct, repeated knowledge about Brett's drinking and his disposition while drunk. And I do believe that Brett's actions as a 53-year-old federal judge matter. If he lied about his past actions on national television, and more especially while speaking under oath in front of the United States Senate, I believe those lies should have consequences. It is truth that is at stake, and I believe that the ability to speak the truth, even when it does not reflect well upon oneself, is a paramount quality we seek in our nation's most powerful judges. I can unequivocally say that in denying the possibility that he ever blacked out from drinking, and in downplaying the degree and frequency of his drinking, Brett has not told the truth. I felt it was my civic duty to tell of my experience while drinking with Brett, and I offer this statement to the press. I have no desire to speak further publicly and nothing more to say to the press at this time. I will, however, take my information to the FBI, and on that note, the FBI contacted me this morning. I contacted them. I've received the form. I filled it out with the details, but I can't give those to anybody right now. I have seen Brett drunk to the point he could easily be passed out.
But you never saw him passed out?
No, I never saw him passed out, but I saw him quite drunk. He saw me quite drunk.
And he testified that he did drink and wasn't proud of everything.
He did, but he also downplayed to a great degree the possibility that he could ever not know what was going on.
So you're saying there were omissions?
I'm saying there were omissions. There were certainly many times when he could not remember what was going on.
That was a former classmate of Brett Kavanaugh named Chad Luddington speaking yesterday from his apparently his home in North Carolina and giving a press conference. All right, so let's open up the phone lines and ask you, based on what we know today and things change by the day, do you think that Brett Kavanaugh is being truthful and should he be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court? And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Jan Simpson is our phone producer today, and thanks for listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and also wmnf.org online. And let's go to, we're going to go to Ray in Land O'Lakes for the first call this segment. Hey, Ray, you're on. What would you like to comment on?
Rob, I was going to make a comment, if I may. Not on Kavanaugh, but your previous guest.
Okay.
They were advocating the transportation for all, I think it was called.
Right.
That's a half a percent?
No, it's a 1 cent sales. 1 cent
okay.
Increase in the sales tax.
Yeah, 1%. And then the schools, there's a proposal to add a half a percent for the schools.
That's right. We talked about that. Yep.
Okay, and then one of the gentlemen running for governor proposes an increase, a pretty good increase in the corporate tax rate, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, 2.25% increase in the corporate tax, which he says will be paid by just a small percentage of corporations.
Yeah, that goes from a 5-point-something, so it's what, about a 30% increase there.
Yeah, it goes from, I think, somewhere around 5% to 7.25, somewhere in there. And I'll look that up to find it.
Yeah, so it's pretty good increase relative to the existing tax rate.
Ray, if you don't mind, make a point because we've got every line lit.
Okay. Well, my question is, are these people telling us we're undertaxed, the average American? I'm just an average guy. Am I undertaxed? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think they're telling you that there are unmet needs in society. I think that would be fair to say.
Well, so I'm undertaxed to meet the fair needs of society.
Yeah, that people can't get a bus to go to work. Sometimes they stand out in the rain in Hillsborough County. Teachers are underpaid. I think that's what they're saying. I think they're saying that that their air conditioner is not working in the schools and that Tallahassee has underfunded our school system.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're saying.
That.
And
I could take
Ray,
a look at that.
Okay, so Ray, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call.
Oh,
All right. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I'm wondering whether or not you think Brett Kavanaugh, at this point with what we know, should be appointed, confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. But we can also talk about taxes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kira or Kyra in Bradenton. Kira?
Hello, it's Kira. Yeah.
Kira, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Here's my problem with Kavanaugh. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that in college and high school, he was a severe drinker and maybe even assaulted women. And then let's say, for the sake of argument, he changed. A lot of people do that. They have horrible, let's say, character, for lack of a better word, during those years, and then they grow up and they turn around their life around and they stop acting like that. Just say that for the sake of argument. That's what happened. The problem here is, if that were true, and the minute he was put on the short list to be a Supreme Court judge, if he had any character today, he would have withdrawn his name before this even began, because he would know about investigations. He would know what it would put his family through, and he wouldn't have gotten into the process in the first place. It, to me, just shows that he hasn't changed. He doesn't have any character. I read a great deal about him in Yale, his fraternity at Yale. There's just way too many things about his past that are disturbing, and I don't think he's changed his character in the least, and he therefore does not have the character to be on the Supreme Court.
All right. Kira, thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right. There you've got Kira's views. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Robin Lutz, who I think called during the transportation segment of the show. Robin Lutz, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, Rob. Good morning. Yeah, I missed the you were talking with the transportation panel there. That's what I wanted to add, because as a 25-year veteran mechanic at Heartline, I retired in 07, but I worked there since 1983 and saw a lot of different CEOs come and go, starting with Harry F. Orr, and my tenure ended with Steve Roberts. And there were some very good CEOs like Cliff Hayden and the interim African-American CEO, Mr. McLeod, before Sharon Dent. And it all depended on this money coming in from millage, from the property taxes. And we were promised over and over again, we're going to buy new equipment, buy new buses, this and that. It never really happened. We limped along for year after year because many times the CEOs were not capable. I think the transportation panel should hold the feet to the fire with these CEOs and make sure that they spend the money properly and don't just give management a raise, because we in the ATU, Amalgamated Transit Union, never saw raises for mechanics or for drivers. It was cut back and cut back. We had to pay more and more for insurance, and it just got worse and worse. So hold the feet of management to the fire, and as I can see from my experience.
Okay. Rob, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's go to Jason in Land O'Lakes. Hey, Jason, you're on WMNF. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm talking to Rob Loy, man. That's what's on my mind. Look, Kavanaugh should not be appointed to Supreme Court.
Why do you think that?
That guy, he ain't right, okay? I don't care what he did in high school. I don't care what he did in college. He ain't right today. Now, I'm sure are other more qualified applicants for this particular lifetime position. Kavanaugh just doesn't belong. That's all I got to say. Thank you,
Rob. Jason, thanks a lot. And this is 88.5 FM. Let's go to Keith, who's in Tampa. Hi, Keith, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good, good.
First of all, thanks for accepting my call. My first inclination is the fact that I think the country had the opportunity to see and hear from his accuser. And I guess she just came across as being incredibly credible. Not just credible. When you begin looking at the arc of their lives, you realize that here's a person who is at the highest level of her profession. She publishes, and she's earned everything that she's gotten, as opposed to on the political side, where a lot less is earned. It's more of who you know as opposed to what you know. And when you consider the fact that he's been a public servant and he's had a lifetime of appointment, a lot of it just is to the level of privilege. And I think what people had the opportunity to see and making and understanding what really happened, you know, he kind of snitched on himself that he likes beer, that he probably drinks a lot more than what we have come to find out. And because of the nomination process, and what he continually said is that he really likes to drink beer or alcohol, no matter what it is, it's still alcohol. Yeah. And at some point in time, he might really believe he had done nothing. And it could be that he had blacked out. And if he, in fact, had blacked out, his belief system that he wasn't there and that he did nothing, it could be truthful because he had blacked out. But the reality is, his reality isn't the reality. The reality is that something happened to that young lady, and she came across as a lot more credible than him. And the other thing is, he's told a number of different half-truths, or in the case of our president, he just lied. And he doesn't come across as being the type of individual who should have a lifetime of an appointment as high as the Supreme Court.
All right.
He can't be the best person.
All right. There. Yeah, undoubtedly there's more people. I think, Keith, thanks a lot. Thanks for that.
All right.
All right. You know, and Keith raises a question about lies. That's a question that's being bandied about on the internet. I'll just read some of the lies that he may have told last week. He said that Christine Blasey Ford's allegations are refuted. Well, we don't really know that. The FBI is investigating. We'll find out more about what the FBI determined on Friday. Judge Kavanaugh said he never attended a gathering like the one described by Blasey, but according to Kavanaugh's calendars, he might have, especially that July 1st entry. Blasey and Kavanaugh did not travel in the same social circles. We know that there are pieces of evidence that show that, yes, they may have indeed traveled in the same social circles. He said, I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out. Well, we don't know that, but we know that there are people that have come forward saying he drank heavily when he was in college. He said the drinking age was 18 in Maryland. It wasn't true. It was 21. He may have lied or may have just misunderstood what the term devil's triangle means or what boofing means. I know that you've probably looked up Devil's Triangle and found a very interesting meaning in the dictionary. He said he had no connection to Yale, yet his grandfather went to Yale as an undergrad. So he was among that 20 to 25% of Yale people who are legacy students. So the question of his honesty, and that is just the tip of the iceberg, those five or six things that I mentioned, there's a whole lot more, including his operation in Republican circles in the 2000s. There are many questions raised about his actions as a Republican operative in the 2000s. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, first of all, about Kavanaugh, no, he's not fit, and that's simple. But I want to talk about what you were covering at the start of the program, which I think is the most important topic for Floridians, far more important than the Supreme Court, which is that the way Florida has been paved over and developed and drowned in population growth, there's no taxes or transportation workarounds or developer fees or anything that can repair the obvious and inarguable massacre of the native species of this state, as well as our intact ecosystems. Every single person that comes into this state, no matter how much a developer might pay towards transportation infrastructure or schools or roads, there's no mitigation for the loss of the open land and the turtles and the birds and the butterflies and the trees and the springs and everything else that's being destroyed. So when I hear those conversations like you had earlier in the show, I know those people are well-intentioned, but it's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We don't need one more person in this state. We need a lot of people to leave. And the only fix for helping the state is to depopulate it, because it has been destroyed by development. And there's nothing that a bureaucrat or a regulator or a well-intentioned non-governmental organization can do. It's a mess.
So, Gary, realistically, though, what legislation would you put up a fence at the Georgia state line?
There are ways, and in other countries, the democratic socialist countries, they tell the developers where they are allowed to and how they are allowed to develop. And they say that if we're going to destroy the lifeboat we're on by piling more and more people on it, it does include getting rid of this idea that private property is a sacred right and that you get to do whatever you want to the land of Florida. I mean, I don't know what legislation will work or what societal changes
Gary,
would
Gary,
work.
But, Gary, you're offering no hope. I mean, maybe your solution, if I hear you right, is that you want a stronger county commission. Pinellas is already built out, so you're in Pinellas, so there's not much you can do about it over there, but maybe you're suggesting you want a stronger county commission, a county commission that doesn't kowtow as much to developers.
And that there should be a change in our attitude, that we don't allow the last beautiful places of Florida to be paved over for 5,000 home development.
Well, Gary, you've got to start an organization that says that, because I don't think there's an organization that really says that.
Because humans are the most selfish species you'll ever see, and most of us, even progressives, don't really care about the turtles and the birds and the manatees and the dolphins and the open spaces and the trees. As long as economic growth is happening, people just smile and go along with their day.
Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. Okay, you got Gary's views. What are your views? We're going to go to Gino in Tampa. Hi, Gino, you're on. What would you like to say?
I don't believe that Kavanaugh belongs, because I believe that he is telling some lies. Another thing is, when you watch him in those TV, and they show questions, and sometimes he stumbles over the questions, and then if you look at his wife, she looks at him, her face is saying things like, he's lying. Look at her face. Look at the expression on his wife's face. It's just so funny. And another thing, I don't think he should be disqualified because of things that he did in college. I went to college, and you do certain things, a lot of things, unless you do something that's illegal. But also, too, he's lying about them, though. That's why I think he's disqualified, because he's lying, and he's a judge. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that judges hate, for people to come into their courtroom and lie, but he's lying.
Well, and the determination of whether or not he's lying, I mean, that would be up to the FBI to do some of that. And I think some of the fact-checking should be done by the U.S. senators, too. I mean, you and I can't make that determination that he's lying, but I think that there are signs that he's lying. And I hope that both the senators and the FBI take a look at some of these objections that are being raised to see whether or not, factually, yes, he's lying.
We've
got to get to the bottom of it.
Of the Ramirez lady, something about before her stuff got to the public, that they were texting amongst each other, him and the people. It's a picture with him and her in it, and it's about four or five of them, and they were at a wedding, and where she was standing on one.
Yeah, they did. There is that picture that's out there this morning. Yeah, you're right. Gino, thanks a lot.
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to read some of these emails. Gino says, this is Gina, not Gino. Gina says Kavanaugh's rant after Dr. Ford's testimony should have cleared up any pretense that he would be an impartial jurist for the highest court in the land. That's part of Gina's email. Donald writes this: I believe once a candidate for a position such as a Supreme Court judge sides themselves, as Brett did, against one political body publicly, they should be disqualified for life for the lifelong position, writes Donald. And Kevin writes this: does lying under oath about the meaning of boofing disqualify him? It seems that would be easy enough to find out for the FBI. I don't think that it disqualifies him, but I do think that if you were in college at the time and you were discussing the Devil's Triangle, you weren't discussing a drink. Now, Whether or not that would be disqualifying, I don't know. But I think in context, though, if there are other places where he lied, then I think that that's how the Senate should view him. He maybe if you lie on many things, you know, it would seem to be that you want a judge who is completely truthful and impartial and objective and calm. So I think that's, anyway, I'll leave it at there. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned. Your hero, Mark Bureau, is back after a week off. Mark is in the studio, and he'll be doing the call-in show for the next hour, the Midpoint program. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF Tampa. Jan Simpson is our phone producer, and stay tuned for the latest news.